Harper Audio presents Crazy for the Storm by Norman Olsted, read by Norman Olsted. Dedication. My father craved the weightless glide. He chased hurricanes and blizzards to touch the bliss of riding mighty waves and deep powder snow. An insatiable spirit, he was crazy for the storm, and it saved my life. This audiobook is for my father and for my son. Chapter 1. February 19, 1979. At 7 that morning, my dad, his girlfriend Sandra, and I took off from Santa Monica Airport, headed for the mountains of Big Bear. I had won the Southern California Slalom Skiing Championship the day before, and that afternoon, we drove back to Santa Monica for my hockey game. To avoid another round trip in the car, my dad had chartered a plane back to Big Bear so that I could collect my trophy and train with the ski team. My dad was 43. Sandra was 30. I was 11. The Cessna 172 lifted and banked over Venice Beach, then climbed over a cluster of buildings in Westwood and headed east. I sat in the front, headphones and all, next to pilot Rob Arnold. Rob fingered the knobs along the instrument panel that curved toward the cockpit ceiling. Intermittently, he rolled a large vertical dial next to his knee, the trim wheel, and the plane rocked like a seesaw before leveling off. Out the windshield, way in the distance, a dome of gray clouds covered the San Bernardino Mountains, the tops alone poking through. It was flat desert all around the cluster of peaks, and the peaks stood out of the desert as high as 10,000 feet. I was feeling especially daring because I had just won the slalom championship, and I thought about the big chutes carved into those peaks. Concave slides, dropping from the top of the peaks down the faces of the mountains like deep wrinkles. I wondered if they were skiable. Behind Rob sat my dad. He read the sports section and whistled a Willie Nelson tune that I'd heard him play on his guitar many times. I craned around to see behind my seat. Sandra was brushing out her silky dark brown hair. She's dressed kind of fancy, I thought. How long, Dad? I said. He peered over the top of the newspaper. About 30 minutes, boy wonder, he said. We might get a look at your championship run as we come around Mount Baldy. Then he stuffed an apple in his mouth and folded the newspaper into a rectangle. He would fold the racing form the same way, watermelon dripping off his chin on one of those late August days down at the Del Mar track, where the surf meets the turf. We'd leave Malibu early in the morning and drive 60 miles south to ride a few peelers off the point at Swami's, named for the ashram crowning the headland. If there was a long lull in the waves, Dad would fold his legs up on his board and sit lotus, pretending to meditate, embarrassing me in front of the other surfers. Around noon, we'd head to Solana Beach, which was across the coast highway from the track. We'd hide our boards under the small wood bridge because they wouldn't fit inside Dad's 56 Porsche. Then we'd cross the highway and railroad tracks to watch the horses get saddled. When they came into the walking ring, Dad would throw me on his shoulders and hand up a fistful of peanuts for lunch. Pick a horse, boy wonder, he'd say. Without hesitation, he'd bet my horse to win. Once a long shot named Scooby-Doo won by a nose, and Dad gave me a $100 bill to spend however I wanted. The mountaintops appeared higher than the plane. I stretched my neck to see over the plane's dashboard, clasping the oversized headphones. As we approached the foothills, I heard Burbank Control pass our plane on to Pomona Control. Pilot Rob told Pomona that he preferred not to go above 7,500 feet because of low freezing levels. Then a private plane radioed in, warning against flying into the Big Bear area without the proper instruments. "Did you copy that?" said the control tower. Roger, said Pilot Rob.